Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
As we are going through 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we are getting to see some very practical things about how to live life as those who believe and trust in Jesus. In all kinds of situations, we're seeing this, right? And it's helpful for us. These are very practical, very day-to-day. It's really awesome how Paul takes the truths, the mysteries of God, and helps us to see it in our day-to-day life, how to apply those truths to life here on earth. We saw first how Paul showed us the relationship of marriage and how to live life as both husband and wife. First of all, that aspect, when both husband and wife are believers, how to live in that relationship, but also in how to live marriage relationship when maybe one spouse is not a believer. Either way, we find that it is good to be fully immersed in our marriages, to give ourselves one to another. We saw that, right? We also saw that it's also very helpful and very good, all of the amazing opportunities that come with being single, right? We can't be married while we want, but also singleness gives us the freedom to serve God in all kinds of amazing ways. And if we have the gift of being able to abstain from the temptations of immorality, then we can be fully immersed in life as a single person, finding joy and satisfaction in Jesus, right? This is all important for us to see because we discover that in either situation, being married or single, we can find joy and satisfaction in that situation, as well as having the amazing opportunity to serve God in that situation too. So that was kind of our understanding of what we've learned so far in 1 Corinthians 7. So, in our passage today, Paul is going to open up that truth a little bit more to help us see how this truth is lived out, not only in marriage and singleness, but also in other aspects of life too. So that regardless of who you are or where you are or whatever situation you're in, through the saving grace of Jesus, you can be, this is the first thing that's amazing, is that you can be a believer in Christ, regardless of where you're at, regardless of who you are or what situation is that you're in. But also along with that, you can be a Christian who finds complete satisfaction, complete joy in where you are as you walk with Jesus, and you can find great meaning and purpose in the things that you do as one who follows Jesus. So we're going to look at that today. Paul tells us this in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're going to look at verses 17 through 24 today. Verses 17 through 24. Verse 17 says this: "But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches." Here's what Paul's saying. Listen, guys, in whatever situation you were in when God called you, when Jesus called you to himself, and you came to Jesus and you put your trust in him, whatever situation that is in, it's okay to be in that situation, as long as it's not like a sinful situation. But whatever situation you're in, you can learn to walk with him and trust in him and find joy and peace in whatever situation you're in. For example, if you were married, you can walk with Jesus in your marriage. There's no need to get a divorce just because you think it might help you to serve him a little bit better. If you're single, grow in walking with Jesus as a single person. There's no need to get married just in order to grow your walk in Jesus. So this is what he's beginning to explain here. Like a plant who looks at his situation and he's like, man, this plant is like, oh man, I mean, this place that I'm in right now, it's, I don't know, I feel like I could grow so much better if I were in a different garden. Oh, maybe I should just get up and move. Paul says, no, there's no need to change your situation. Don't worry about where God planted you. just bloom where you're planted. This is what Paul is teaching us through this passage. Here's what's really interesting. The truth that we're learning today isn't just for the Corinthian church family. Paul says this is something that applies to every church family wherever they are. He says, and so ordain I in all churches. This applies to all of us. Wherever you are, whatever situation you see you find yourself in, bloom where you're planted. Find your joy and peace and living life following Jesus wherever you are. So, he starts describing two different scenarios to help us understand and to help us apply this understanding of blooming where we're planted. That's not one of my phrases. I read that. I was like, oh man, that's really good. It really fits here. But he says to help us understand that, he uses two scenarios to illustrate this truth. The first scenario is based on who you are. Who you are. Let's see what he says. Verse 18, 19, and 20 says this. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Verse 19. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Verse 20 says this. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. What's he talking about here? In this time, the church had essentially two kinds of I use the word nationalities, but you kind of understand what I'm talking about. There were Jews, and then there were Gentiles. And within the Gentiles, there were all different other kinds of nationalities. But essentially, the church was kind of split between Jews and Gentiles. Jews had a very different lifestyle from Gentiles. They would live their life following the laws of Moses, right? They would follow all the different rules and the instructions that God had given for the Jews. There were certain foods that they would or wouldn't eat. There were special festivals where they would remember the history of how God had brought them and protected and provided them throughout their history as a nation. And there are certain ceremonies that illustrated God's covenant with them as a chosen people, right? One of those ceremonies was circumcision. It was something that identified a Jewish man as being set apart for God. And so Paul says in verse 18, let's go back to verse 18. Paul says this. Were you a Jew? Were you circumcised? Were you a Jew when you were saved, when you were called? Don't try to not be a Jew now. If you were a Jew when you were saved, continue to be a Jew and follow Jesus as a Jew. Bloom where you're planted. Grow in Jesus. Grow in following Jesus as a Jew. Discover all of the ways that your heritage as a Jew points to Jesus. And then learn from that and grow in your love in Him. The more you know, share this good news with your family and with your other friends who are Jews as well. As a Jew, help them to see what a heart that is changed by Jesus looks like. You see, there is this temptation for Jews to abandon their Jewishness, to go into Gentileness and reach Gentiles in that way. Paul says, no, if you're a Jew, stay a Jew. Bloom where you're planted. Be what you are and serve God in that way. Don't abandon your family or your friends in trying to become a Gentile, because that's not what conforms you to Him. He changes your heart, not your identity. Paul says the same thing for the Gentiles. Gentiles were simply people who weren't Jews, right? You could be a Roman Gentile, you could be a Greek Gentile, it didn't matter. Gentiles were non-Jews, right? And for that, there was all kinds of nationalities. You could be anything, right? And with that were all kinds of customs and all kinds of traditions. Each one had their own difference in how they lived life, right? So Paul told them, if God called you as a Gentile, don't think that becoming a Jew makes you more spiritual in following Jesus. Don't try to become a Jew. Grow in your walk with Jesus as a Gentile. Be a Greek who loves Jesus. Be a Roman who loves Jesus. Bloom where you're planted. Share the good news of Jesus to your family and friends. Man, there are so many people. I mean, think about this. For the Jewish believer to abandon his family and friends, to go to the Gentiles, a place where he doesn't know their customs or their traditions, and try to do all of those things in order to reach Gentiles, or as a Gentile to abandon their family and friends, to go into to try to follow Judaism, where he knows nothing of and probably won't be accepted by them anyways. Why go through all those? Stay where you're at. Be with those who are already you're already with, and enjoy. Help them to see that it's not your identity as your national identity that matters. It matters that your heart is being changed by Jesus. He says, "Don't abandon your people just to identify with other people." Verse 19 says this. Why is that important? Circumcision is nothing. And uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. What matters is not whether you're circumcised or not. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile. What matters is, are you obeying God where you are? Are you loving Him and loving others? So instead of focusing on the outside, your nationality, who you are on the outside, focus on the inside. Focus on who you are on the inside. Don't try to change your identity as far as whether you're Jew or Gentile. Instead, focus on your identity as a child of God. Let God's Spirit in you change your heart. And he says in verse 20 something that he consistently repeats throughout this passage. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Stay where you are. Roman, Greek, Jew, doesn't matter who you are as long as you are in Christ. Let your identity as one who is the citizen of a kingdom that is far greater than any nationality here on earth. Let that citizenship of heaven identify you as one who is in Christ. Let that be who you are. Bloom where you're planted. Not only does he talk about who we are, but he also talks about what we do in life. Not just our identity, but also what we do. And he talks about this. He uses this scenario to help us again to see how important it is that anybody in any condition, anywhere, can not only be a follower of Jesus, but to thrive and grow and glorify God wherever he is, whoever he is, whatever he does. Verse 21. This is so cool. Verse 21. Art thou called, are you saved, being a servant? The word for this would, instead of a servant, would be a slave. Care not for it. Don't worry about it. Don't concern yourself about it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. 22. For he that is called is in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Verse 23. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. This is really interesting. So in verse 21, let's go back to there. He says, were you saved as a slave? Were you called at being a servant? Were you saved as a slave? Don't let it concern you. Don't let it bother you. And this is interesting because during this time, slavery was a very common part of life, a common aspect of life. Many people were slaves, servants in their role in life. Sometimes people would even become slaves in order to pay off debts that they themselves couldn't pay. So there are many people in the days of Jesus, in the Bible times, who came to know Jesus as slaves. And I'm sure a lot of them were wondering, man, here I am a slave. I want to serve Jesus with everything that I have, but I don't have any freedom. How in the world am I going to be used by Jesus to serve him the way I want to? What should I do? If you think about it, that's a pretty rough situation. You have no options, no choices. You're stuck where you are. You have to listen to your master. You don't know what to do. It's like, man, here I am. I want to live my life to serve Jesus, yet I'm a slave. What hope is there for me to glorify him in my life? Paul says, if you are a slave, it's okay to be there. Bloom where you're planted. Be the best slave that you can possibly be. Don't worry about where you are. Even as a slave, you can serve God and glorify him through your life. And you can find joy and peace that God gives you as one who is in Christ. It doesn't just say, if you're a slave, always be a slave, never try to get free. He also says in verse 21, if you do have the chance to be free, go for it. Go ahead and take it. Because obviously that's going to be a lot easier for you as well. But if that opportunity never comes, don't let your situation prevent you from growing in your love for Jesus and growing in serving him where you are. So this brings us the question. All right, Steve, well, let's think about it. How would a person who is in that situation as a slave glorify God when he doesn't have freedom to do what we think that would be best for him? Ephesians 6 tells us, Paul tells us this in Ephesians 6. Servants, slaves, be obedient to them who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of heart, as unto Christ. Serve your masters like you would serve Jesus. How do you do that? Verse 6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Don't just try to serve him only when they see you. Serve him with everything you have. Be the best slave that you could possibly be, knowing that in your service to your master, you are serving Jesus himself. Verse 7 tells us this. He says, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Verse 8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. He's saying this, man, wherever you are, if you are a slave, serve your master as if you were serving Jesus himself, because you are. All things that we do for the glory of Jesus as we serve our masters, that is glorifying to God. And he will reward you for how you serve him in that way. Boy, this can be applied to our jobs here and now, can it not? We have a lot more freedom now than people did back then. And in our jobs also, we can look at our jobs and say, listen, I'm going to serve my boss. I'm going to do the absolute best for my boss. Whether he can see me or not, the job that I have and where I'm at now, I'm going to serve my boss and give my boss the best thing I can, as if I were serving Jesus. And in doing so, we are blooming. We are displaying the glory of God right where we are planted. This is how we glorify Jesus, not only in who we are, but also in what we do. In these verses in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul is reminding us to look beyond our physical situation to see our spiritual situation. And he uses the situations of slavery and freedom to help us see the weight of these different situations. Go back to 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 22. It says this, for he that is called in the Lord, for those of us who are saved in Jesus, being a servant is the Lord's freeman. If you are a servant here on earth, don't forget that you are a free in Christ. But also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant or slave. Though you may be a slave physically, spiritually you have been freed by Jesus. And even though you may be free physically, don't forget that spiritually You are a servant of Jesus. So what's he talking about here? How can you be both free and a servant in Jesus? What's he talking about? What is this description of? Here's what it is. As Christians, we follow Jesus. We humbly obey what he tells us to do through his word. We're his servants, and we gladly serve him. We gladly serve him because of what he has freed us from, what he has saved us from. He has freed us from the worst kind of slavery of all. He has freed us from a debt that could not be paid by us, the very debt of our sin. And the end result of that death, or sin, a debt, death and hell. He saved us from that. He freed us from that. How did he free us from that kind of slavery? He himself paid for our freedom from it. Verse 23, ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. You're no longer in the slavery of mankind. You've been freed from that. You've been freed through Jesus. What was the price? That price that he paid for our freedom. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, he says, for as much as ye know that you were not redeemed, that you have not been purchased with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. How can we be slaves and free at the same time? We gladly become the slaves of Jesus. One who we come to him in our burden. He gives us a burden that is light, a load that is light. We come to him. We follow him because he has freed us from a debt that could not be paid, though we lived a thousand lifetimes. This is the gift that Jesus has given us. Jesus freed us by paying the one debt that was impossible for us to pay, and then gives us the chance to live as those who belong to him. So, wherever you find yourself, regardless of who you are, where you are, or what you do, you know that you can live in joy and in peace in knowing that you are in Christ. And so, as one who is in Christ, you know that he has put you where you are for a reason. To show those around you the way in which you are loved by Jesus, by loving them in the like manner that you have been loved. You get to where you are planted, bloom for his glory. And in so doing, you love others in the way that Jesus loves you. And he closes in verse 24 to remind us again, brethren, let every man, wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Where you are, abide with God. Learn to love your Father, to grow in him and understanding him, understanding that your physical condition, your physical situation, who you are physically, where you are physically, what you do physically, put that in the perspective of who you are in Christ, that you are God's child. So abide with your Father, dwell with him, love him as he loves you. And in so doing, you also can bloom where you are planted. To know that God is using you where you are to glorify, to show others his great love for us and for them as well. Right? Bloom where you're planted. Boy, that's a good thought, isn't it? Think about where God put you. He put you there for a reason. Think about where God has let your life go through as on your journey with him. He has done that because there are people who need to see the love of Jesus, and he chooses to use you in that situation to show those around you Jesus' great love, not only for you, but for them as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you. One, for bringing us out of slavery, the slavery of our sin, Jesus, thank you for sacrificing yourself, for paying the incredible debt, a debt that could not be paid by no matter how hard we would try. And yet you, the debt was great enough that it required you to shed your blood to pay for that debt. Jesus, thank you for being willing to leave heaven to come to us in order to pay for that price. Thank you for rescuing us, for redeeming us. Now, as we are free from that debt, as we are free from the slavery of sin and death and hell, as those who are in you, help us to serve you with everything that we have, to glorify you wherever we are in our life, whoever we are and whatever we do, help us to bloom where we are planted, please. In Jesus' name, amen.